Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. I can't do this without you. Thy will be done. Be magnified in me. Be glorified in me. In Jesus' name, I ask. And his word says, he said, the man, Christ Jesus, told his disciples and us, for us to read. It's been recorded in history forever and ever, for us to read and know anything we ask in his name that is according to his will, does not go against his word, it shall be done for us, especially when two or more are gathered. When two or more are gathered, the power of agreement in prayer. The power of agreement in prayer. You know, I was just meandering in my thoughts, and sometimes as we do, you know, just going about my business, and my thoughts turned to, how far back do we go? How far back, as Americans, we're all Americans, but we don't walk around saying, I'm European American, I'm Israeli American, I'm African American. Maybe we do. How far back do we go? I'm Babylonian American. I'm Canaanite American. Where did we originate? Mesopotamian American? You know, and so my thoughts were on that, and I started thinking about the Tower of Babel, because that's where, that's kind of where we split ways, right? Wherever we came from, we all were there. Our ancestors were there, and that's where we split ways. And that's what created, that was what started the different areas, the different regions, the different nationalities came, right? We went to that place, our ancestors went to that place, and that's where we identify with. But we could go to Babel, right? So my thoughts were meandering there. Then I open up a well-known and trusted prophetic voice. I was reading her book, and lo and behold, she's talking about Tower of Babel. And I was like, wow, Lord, you really, really know how to get to me and speak to me so that I know that this is your voice. So there the verse was that the Lord said, let us go down because they're building this Tower of Babel. Apparently, Nimrod was in disobedience at this time. He was the great-grandson of Noah. He was in disobedience at this time. And he was upset with God about that flood. Maybe he felt like it was unjust, unfair. All those innocent people. What kind of cruel God would do such a thing? You know, and it's interesting because we hear talk like that today. It's all about love. God. If God was a God of love, why are all these people suffering and dying? I'm just looking at the most beautiful sunrise. Most beautiful sunrise right now, guys. He is amazing. Anyway, going back. So Nimrod decided he was going to gather up a bunch of people, and they were going to build a tower that was tall enough so that if there was ever another flood, there wouldn't be a problem. It must have been a really huge tower. And pretty wide, right? Because to think that everyone could climb it and hang out up there in the event of a future flood, man, wouldn't that be cool to see what that actually looked like? I would love to get my eyes on that. But anyway, so the Lord himself said in heaven, let us go down and confuse their language. Because if this is what they can accomplish, given one language, imagine what they could do. Nothing will be impossible for them. Now let's fast forward to today. And we know the power of agreement because in his word, in Matthew, Jesus later said, because we know that was most likely the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus that came down in his I think it was, we refer to that as a Christophanies when we see a being that came from heaven that is expressing the authority and power of the Lord Christ himself prior to his birth and and life and death and resurrection. And so we see that the Lord himself decided he was going to come down, you know, and we know that he comes down. Jesus comes down. That's who comes down, right? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So, and we know that the Father walks in the cool of the garden. So, anyway, so we see, fast forwarding to Matthew, we see when Jesus says that where two or more are gathered in prayer, in agreement, that it shall be done for them. And I can't remember the verse for that. I think it's written in two places. It's written in Matthew and in Luke's gospel. So if you keyword those words in there, you'll find it. It's in Matthew 18, 19 maybe? 18, chapter 18, verse 19, something like that, I want to say. Luke, I can't remember the reference there. But anyway, now, what about this language? What about this language? You know, we see that we now have been restored back to a heavenly language, all of us. Now, we can talk a lot about what the original language is in heaven, or what the original language was on the earth, but we do know this. We do know, number one, that we can access a heavenly language. That is our inheritance. And number two, we know that it sounds different. I know that my prayer tongue sounds different than another person's prayer tongue. Sometimes it's like it's repetitive syllables, and other times it's words that sound like real words that might be from another language, you know, that just I haven't encountered yet on this the face of the earth. But when we pray, when we come together in unity and in agreement, in one accord, and we pray in our heavenly language, nothing is impossible for us. Whatever we believe, and you know, here's the kicker, here's the best part of all, is when we're praying in our heavenly language, we don't even know what we're praying. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows, because in the Word it says that we pray, the Holy Spirit seeks out our heart and prays in utterances that we don't know, are unknown to us. We can ask for the understanding. We can claim the verse that says, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding, which is something I like to do, because then I can get an understanding of what it is I'm praying and coming into agreement. But that is our spirit praying to the Father. That is the Holy Spirit in us, who is joined together with our spirit to become one spirit, praying to the Father in heaven in the name of Jesus, because he is the Spirit of the Lord. And anything that he prays in unity through me and through others around me can be done. It is not impossible. That's the power of prayer. That is the power of coming into unison in prayer, in one accord. So let us not forsake the assembling together one to another. It doesn't have to be 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. It can simply be two or more, right? So I want to release that word to you, and I want to encourage you to think about that. Think about where we've come from, where we are, where we're going, who we are in him. What is our inheritance in him? And what has his word said about the power of agreement in prayer? The power. You know, they were building something together. And we can use that as an analogy to say, when we gather together in one language, we are building unto the Lord. We are building a tower unto the Lord that puts us in a place far above the storm, far above any storm that could come our way. So I want to bless you, and I thank you, Lord. I just ask in Jesus' name that you would encourage us, fill us up with your prayer language. So if you don't have it, ask for it and believe and just step out in faith and just start saying, I'm going to speak in tongues today. That's what happened to me. I just stood up and, you know, I had been given a word in my mind's eye, my heart, like the Spirit. I had heard a word, Hatika, Hatika. And I was like, what is Hatika? Oh, that must be my prayer language. That must be my tongue. So I started praying that. I stood up. I said, I'm just going to pray in tongues. I stood up. Hatika, Hatika, Hatika. And before I knew it, Kara Sakura Sakia Mahiyama Iyayamiya Sakara Siti Iyaya Kaya Mahiya Mahiyama Kuso Ora Taha started coming out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even speak English for 3 hours. Probably would have went on longer, but my mom came to the door. She wanted to check on me because I had called her speaking in tongues because I couldn't speak in English. And she said, wow, you got your tongues. Okay. Are you okay? So she decided to come up and check on me in case I was laid out on the floor somewhere. Funny story. So when she came to the door, I said, oh, hi, Mom. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to use my language anymore. I lost it. I lost it. It's gone, you know. And sure enough, it wasn't. I just willfully prayed in tongues. It was amazing. How that works, I do not know. Only the Spirit understands. There is a place in us. There is a channel for the Holy Spirit to speak through us, through this head, through this mouth that I know not of, that I am not in control of. My brain is not in control of it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So if my brain's not in control of it, whose brain is? Whose mind is? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. That proves prayer language, proves tongues, actually proves that you have another mind inside of you than the one that you're using right now to operate and to listen to my voice. So we thank you, Lord. So just step out in faith and believe. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's number one. First of all, you're going to have to confess your sin, repent, change your ways, change your mind. Change your mind about how you've been living, how you've been thinking, how you've been believing, and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. I need you. I confess. I am a sinner, and I need you. Restore me unto you, Lord. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Use me for your glory. Be magnified in me. Be glorified in me. Come, Holy Spirit, live inside of me. Baptize me with your fire, your power. Baptize me with your love. And then just believe. Believe and walk in that place. It may take several years. It took me 4 years after being baptized in the Holy Spirit to start speaking in tongues. Don't ask me why. I don't know if it was just a matter of my understanding of, or my faith. But he gave me that word, Hatika, to stand on. He's so gracious. He's so merciful and loving. And he said, you know, she needs this confidence. She needs this solid foundational kind of thing, I don't know, like a manifestation of it in order to hold on to some sort of faith. And then from that point, I was able to move forth. And I feel like that's a mouthful. You know, we can say the manifestation, that is Jesus. Jesus, his name in the Aramaic is Malta. His name is, when we look in John 1, we see that it refers to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And when you can continue to read that, we see that the word that references Jesus there is he was the Malta, the manifestation of the Father on this earth. And so he was like something we could see and hear and feel. You know, something our five senses could grab onto, and sometimes he will allow that. He's so gracious and loving. In order for us to sometimes have the faith that we need to believe in what we can't see, can't hear, can't feel, can't understand all the time with our natural mind, he will give us something. He will give us a manifestation. And simply that's all it is. It is a starting point. It's kind of like it's that catalyst, I want to say, that gives us that hope to believe, that faith and that understanding to continue to trust in him and to look for more and to believe for more. And so that's all he needs. He'll take that little bit that you give him and then you'll see more and more and more grow from that. And that's like similar to how that worked with me with my tongue. He gave me a real word, Hatika, and that was my manifestation, so to speak. And from that point, I was able to move forward in faith and say, I'm going to speak in tongues today. So I just want to bless you. Hopefully that's for somebody out there. Maybe you need a little better understanding of what this tongue is. I'm a speech language pathologist. I study linguistics. I deal with communication every day. I help people who have trouble with communication, disorders that are blocking, you know, and I've moved into more of even including some of the heart traumas that go along with blocking communication, effective communication. And, man, I could talk forever about that. That's something God has been using me powerfully, and I'm learning. He's using it to teach me as a tool as well. But I just want to leave that with you. But I can't even explain how the prayer language or tongues work, because I understand speech and language and the communication, the anatomy, the physiology. I studied all that. Disorders that interfere. Where does this heavenly language come from out of your mind? How can you speak without formulating those words? And so I just want to bless you, and I want to encourage you, the power of your tongue. Press in for it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Those of you, Father, I ask, those that are listening to the sound of my voice, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would give them the confidence to believe, and just believe and receive your tongue right now in Jesus' name, and just start speaking out. Speak out in Jesus' name, and use that, because there is power in it. It's something the enemy does not want us to have. He doesn't want us to know. He doesn't want us to use it, because he knows the power of agreement in when we all are in the same unity of mind, and that's almost impossible for us, our worldly minds, to come into complete unity. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the mind of Christ. He is one mind. So when we are in him, and if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, you are in Christ, and you are seated in heavenly places. And in the Word, it says you have the mind of Christ. So I call forth the mind of Christ today, and you, well, you will have to pray that prayer. But for me, I say, I call forth the mind of Christ. I put my spirit man ahead, in front of, in charge of my soul and my body. And so therefore, I give the mind of Christ dominion right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so when I'm speaking my tongue out of the mind of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, that is the comforter that is here. Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here. So that is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus that can be everywhere. He is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient in us and in everyone else at the same time. How can we understand that? We just have to believe in faith and understand that his word is true. Don't ever question his word. If you don't question that just by saying a prayer you can be saved from hellfire and damnation, don't question his word about other things that you don't understand. Just stand on it and believe it and say, help me to understand. Help me to believe and help me to hope and follow your word. Help me to live out your word. I don't understand this healing. Why did you spit in this man's mouth to untie his tongue? Why did you spit in the mud and apply it to that man's eye so that he could see? But we believe it, right? So there may be some things in the Bible that you don't quite agree with or don't quite understand, especially when it comes to some of the current social trends and issues that we're facing today. But you don't have to understand it. You do not have to understand it. You just allow the mind of Christ to take dominion over your life, to take center stage, and allow your natural mind to be in submission to the mind of Christ, and just stand on his word and believe it and decree it in Jesus' name. So I want to bless you, and I want to encourage you. Remember, get your prayer tongue, get your prayer language, and use it, and get together with other believers and speak in that holy prayer language, and allow the Holy Spirit's will, the Holy Spirit's mind, the mind of Christ, to come forth through the power of his Holy Spirit, and allow his will to be done on this earth. That is what we need to do. Come together in agreement in the will of the Holy Spirit, in the will of Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the power of tongues. So I bless you, Jesus. Just make my words make sense to these people. Bless them. Let it penetrate into their natural mind and into their spirit so that their spirit men can just come alive, identify, and witness to what it is I say, and confirm my word, I pray. Confirm my word by two or three witnesses.